At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I just want to make it clear, just in case anyone might be confused about what we're going to talk about here in the next 3 hours. There's only going to be two topics. That's it. I've narrowed it down to two topics, right? I think you can probably take a guess. The first one is this. We'll probably spend 90 minutes on the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift engagement news from today. It's all over the place. The sports media world is abuzz. And then the rest of the 90 minutes, we're going to talk about Cracker Barrel. So it's pretty much Cracker Barrel and Taylor Swift today.
Buckle up.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Which one should we start with? Do you have a suggestion? Honestly, the whole Cracker Barrel thing still confuses me so much. I can't believe that, and I'm falling into it right now, too, that we're on the fifth day of talking about like this ridiculous rebrand of Cracker Barrel. I heard this Marcus Lemonis guy on the air on Fox this morning talking about this. And I think he's kind of like the Bed Bath & Beyond guy that said something about California as well. But his prediction was because he was praising, see again, I'm falling into the trap of talking about this. He was praising this young marketing director, saying she's very talented and very smart, but that he thought they should just, and that maybe they will just say, okay, we messed up. We're going back to the old dude with the barrel. You guys have it your way. I don't know if that's going to happen. But again, what I said last week was, you know, there's never been a time in this nation's entire history. This was a chain that started in 1969. No one has ever talked this much about Cracker Barrel, ever. 100. I mean, hang
that
on.
That is so true.
Yeah. So anyway, I remain very, very confused by that and why people are so upset about it. I think what they were trying to do is it's the place that old people go, and they were probably trying to make it seem like not just old people should go there, but man, people are worked up about it, right, Sue?
Oh, they
are. Very worked up. And then the Swiftie Kelce thing, you very excited about that today?
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, here's what I would say about that is, and this is just being sincere. I hope it works out. I really
do.
Yes,
I do.
You might remember when this started a couple years ago, I was a little leery on whether it was real or, and I wasn't saying it was like a manufactured stunt or anything like that.
No,
I didn't think it was a stunt but I thought it was more, this is just being honest here. I thought it was playful banter between two very famous people because, again, I remembered how he had started the whole thing. He started talking about her on a podcast and he went to the concert and he thought he was going to meet her and then that didn't happen. And then it sort of bloomed from there. So I think it's a great story. But let's face it, you know, Hollywood marriages – Celebrity marriages, even the best of them, they don't last
Taylor Swift relationships in general.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, what the hell's going to happen to her music, right? Who's she going to write about anymore? This is what she said on that podcast with Travis and Jason Kelce.
He's truly getting to know me in a way that's very natural, very pure, very normal. Like, also, like, just the way that he could make me laugh so immediately about normal things. Travis is like, he's just a vibe booster in everyone's life that he's in. He's like a human exclamation point. This podcast got me a boyfriend ever since Travis decided to use it as his personal dating app about 2 years ago. So,
yep, that's what happened.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Hey.
Were his friendship bracelets that good? Did you give the friendship bracelets, or was that just on the podcast?
I've never seen.
Yeah,
the original.
They didn't leave the stadium because I was butthurt, Jason.
He threw a tantrum. He threw a man tantrum.
I love it. I think they're just a cute couple, and I would say there'd probably be nothing more fun than to be at like Thanksgiving dinner with Travis and his brother and Taylor Swift and you know folks like that. I love the story. I didn't, you know, once I realized it was real, I wasn't, you know, criticize them because I like both of them and I like Taylor. I'm a fan of her music. Even look, did you know Trump even weighed on this today? Even Trump wished him luck.
Well, I wish him a lot of luck. No, I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy, and I think that she's a terrific person. So I wish them a lot of luck.
Oh, look at that terrific person.
I think they're like America's royal couple. Well, it's as close as we get.
I've heard a couple people say that today, Fred. I think it's true. You know, real. Now I don't know anything about the wedding plans or where they're going to do it. Or,
you don't.
You know, well, I've gotten a call yet,
yeah.
But I'm sure that I'm on the list. Sue doesn't seem quite as interested in this couple story, and I'll probably start.
I think it's fine. You know,
but you don't really care about each of them, do you?
Well, I just think it's been. We talk about it. Just gets so much coverage. I'm like, okay, I got it. But she was really appealing on the podcast, apparently, as a real person.
I never listened to the whole thing. I would like.
I did not either.
Well, one of the things I like about that is that you do forget. I've talked about this in terms of celebrities before because I've met a fair amount of them. I've hung around a fair amount of even Hollywood A-listers, and you do forget that they are real people that have passions and they have interests and they have hobbies and they would rather not talk about, you know, the worst thing that I've ever experienced is like, and I would avoid the conversation by going up to someone saying, oh my God, I'm the biggest fan and I love this. I always kind of look for an angle if I'm going to have a conversation.
Right.
I've used Billy Bob Thornton as an example because I went up to him one time at an award show and I just said, hey Bill, have you been to a Cardinals game this season? This was in the middle of the summer and he engaged with me and we just talked baseball for a while, which was awesome. So I do think that even though she's one of the biggest stars on the entire planet and that he certainly is as well in his own world and, you know, kind of adjoining to Taylor's world, let's wish them well, like the president
said. Of course.
Wish them luck. All right, a couple things here as we get going. I promise I'm not going to talk about that the entire show today, even though the Cracker Barrel thing still does confuse me. Congresswoman Ann Wagner's coming up here in a couple of minutes. I was on a show. I was a guest on a show today. Did you know that, Sue? We talked about this a little bit.
I took a screenshot for you.
Yeah. Monica Adams does a live show, live most days of the week. She was even promoting this morning that tomorrow she's on the road. So she goes on the road sometimes, and she's doing that tomorrow. But it airs at 7 o'clock on several platforms. That was 7 a.m. I got up at 5:30 this morning. That was very early for me.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, I only cracked one Diet Coke before I got to her studio because, as you know, and I documented yesterday, I was very concerned about the bladder making it through the hour. Plus interview. It did.
It survived
for people
good.
Who might
that's,
be.
That's good news.
She took a couple of breaks, but look, she invited me because she had seen my social media post about returning to work, you know, in the aftermath of the mental health crisis. And if you want to hear the story and, you know, what happened and why I was gone, again, I think I told Monica this. There was one listener that was just very insistent that I was dead, and she thought the station, or maybe it was a he thought the station was covering it up. This was all several weeks ago. And the station was not covering up my murder or my death or anything like that. I was just, you know, on this extended leave because I was struggling between, you know, May 7th when I got back from Greece all the way until really a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, these guys did great work here. here trying to, you know, hold down the fort while I was here. We had a lot of fill-in hosts. I kept trying to get back. Fred knows this. I kept saying, I'm coming back tomorrow, Fred, and then I wouldn't, and, you know, I just didn't feel ready. But I feel like night and day compared to how I felt. But she was interested because the theme of her, you know, her show and her podcast, kind of overcoming obstacles. I have posted a link to the conversation. And her show starts at 7 a.m. We started talking about 7:15. I'm not suggesting you skip everything before that. But if you want to get to the good part, it's like at 15 minutes into the
How did
podcast.
You feel doing it? Was it good?
I felt great. Okay. Yeah, I felt completely fine talking about it. You know, you never know, you know, how that's going to go. But Sue, I just can't even tell you. Like, I couldn't even. The main thing for me for about 8 weeks on this show, and I don't even think I'm underestimating that, was to just get through the freaking show.
Right.
Like, I didn't know. There were day after day after day, I simply didn't know if I could make it from 3:04 until 5:55. And I sat here. And what happens then is when I have to think about what I do, I don't like to think. Let me just make that clear. When I have to think about what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say, then the show's not very good. Because to me, this all comes very naturally
right.
because I've done it for so long. So if I have to, we had, for example, and this gets into the weeds where the bosses don't like talking about this stuff. But we have different clocks. We talk about them because we hit the air now at 3:04, and we used to come on a little later, and we take a few more different breaks. Anyway, I bring that up because for a while, and now I don't have to do this, for a while I had to think about that, right? I'd think about what buttons I'm pressing and when.
Right.
But once I get into my rhythm and it's natural, then I'm fine. So this morning, whereas I don't even know if I could have done that show 4 weeks ago. In fact, I don't think I could have, just because things have kind of settled down
for
with
sure.
my brain. And that's just some of the medicine taking a little time, I think, to kick in. Anyway, it was a good visit with Monica, and I would highly suggest that you check it out. I put it on my Facebook page. I also put it at the top of my Twitter, and you can follow that at Mark Reardon KFTK. And just search Monica Adams Show. She's up on YouTube. She's on all of the platforms. And it was a cool little studio. She's got a nice little setup over there. She had a director. It was very, very professional, that's for sure. Ann Wagner's coming up here in a couple of minutes. Timothy Minella, who is talking about some things related to DEI. Fred knows this, I had a really interesting email that came through last week from a local professor who was sort of a victim of DEI, and we had him set up to talk about this yesterday. And it's not like he panicked or anything, but he was given some advice by his current employer to say, look, we can't protect you if this kind of goes sideways where it's negative publicity. So for the sake of his current job, he has decided to not do the interview. I have a lot of the information, and I don't know that I'll share it this afternoon when Timothy comes on, but a lot of the themes are very similar. Sue's News for a Tuesday. I feel like it should be Wednesday, by the way.
Me
but it's only
too.
I don't know
is
what
that
it
happened
is.
To
no,
you,
no, no, no. It faked me out, too.
Okay, good.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Gosh.
I don't know what it is, but I had like several times that I think about that, but it's only Tuesday. So we'll have a Tuesday edition of Sue's News. Cassie Smedley, one of our favorites, who is a former RNC press secretary, will be with us in the 4. Ilya Shapiro to talk about burning flags. And our friend George Rosenthal from Throttled It. Well, remember when we were having him on and we were talking about Blue Sky and we never really got to that. We ran
right.
out of time. So George is coming up. Plus, an audio cut of the day and more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner is back in the district on a little bit of break from Congress, also back from an international trip, and she joins us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. Ann, how are you?
I am fabulous, winding down in August where we've gotten around the district. I've done a little work-related traveling internationally, and believe it or not, before school started for the kiddos again, I was able to get in a little Gaga or Grandma babysitting time. So we have maximized it here. I can tell you it's been great. You know, I've been everywhere from car dealerships to dairy farms to amazing adult and children domestic abuse centers that have done a lot of great work. Some places in Franklin County, honestly, that help transition homeless families in the region, which is super. But now to the range to nice. Shoot and to talk about gun safety and other things. Even did a one big beautiful bill town hall with American for Prosperity. It was very well attended. Just got off an international trip for the Intelligence Committee to Japan. So we're not letting any grass grow under our feet here.
Well, let's. I want to talk about Japan and some of these other things. Let me start, though, with the big, beautiful bill. I mean, obviously, the passage goes back here a little bit, but the president was even talking about this today.
It's a massive tax cut for the middle class. It's a massive tax cut for jobs. And it's, I mean, think of it. No tax on tips, no tax on Social Security. So seniors, I don't know how you can vote for anybody else. And, you know, just think of that and no tax on overtime.
You know, the Social Security thing, as someone who is not on Social Security and probably won't be on it here for a little while, that's always just aggravated me that there's tax on all the money that people have saved over the years. So I hope that somehow holds. Is that one of those, you know, things in the big, beautiful bill that could expire, or is that permanent?
No. This is a really fantastic program, but it will be a little confusing for seniors. So I want to make it clear, when we say no tax on Social Security, what that means is when they do their taxes, when during tax time, they will actually check a box and they will receive a $6,000 rebate tax refund from the taxes that they would have paid on their Social Security. So that is how it's going to work. And $6,000 is a big chunk of money. It takes in about 95% of those that are actually receiving a Social Security check. On top of those that were taken care of, about no tax on tips, That'll come through on their W-2s. And also, no tax on overtime. This is a great program for hourly workers, for parents. The president's right. There is everything about this bill is going to make you more prosperous and, frankly, more secure. And it is truly unbelievable to me that every single Democrat in the United States House and Senate voted for a huge tax increase, probably the largest tax increase in American history with this bill. I mean, even doubling, they voted to cut in half the child tax credit to probably overall, I'd say, a standard deduction. It would have doubled that and probably robbed Americans of another $10,000 from their hard-earned money. I mean, this is a federal tax cut of about $10,000 per family that was extended had we not gotten this done, along with, like I said, some of the other sweeteners that are out there.
I would say in a sea of journalistic malpractice, of which just in the last year we could count so many different things, I think this is a highlight. I've talked about this several times because, you know, we kind of talk about it now like, okay, you know, the tax cuts got renewed. That's all well and good. But look, you had an entire year, more than that, of a presidential campaign where nobody in the legacy media, and even now, nobody really pressed the Democrats when this was on the line to say, you realize that if you don't support this, not that they have to support everything in it, but they never were pressed on that issue of giving every American taxpayer a tax increase if they would have it their way. Kamala was let off the hook on this. She was never asked about it. It's ridiculous. And I know that people like you and me and the president tried to repeat that, but the media sort of kind of ignored it like it wasn't even a deal. And it was a pretty big deal, I would say.
A big, big, big deal, a largest tax cut extended, and most of the provisions, Mark, made permanent, unlike
That's
the first
right.
Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And then also, they've left out how we've made Americans more secure. I mean, the investment in border security and national defense is absolutely amazing. And what has happened already at our southern border, we have gone, and just think about these numbers for just a minute. We've gone from 1 million illegal aliens pouring into our country over the last 6 month period to now just 56,000 illegals getting stopped and promptly turned away at the border. That's a 95% drop even before the big, beautiful bill. And what will happen now is a whole bunch of money is going to go to finish the 700 miles of primary border wall, 600 miles of secondary barriers, 900 miles of the river barriers. All those people that were the Biden administration was coaxing across the Rio Grande and were losing their lives because of it. We'll put those barriers up now. You know, 3,000 new Border Patrol agents, 5,000 new Customs and Border Patrol agents also. I mean, it's just the money that is going towards ICE, another $30 billion for enforcement and deportation activities. So when I say this is going to make you more prosperous, it's also going to make you more, much more secure. Another $150 billion for defense that I can't say enough is going to come home here to Missouri. We've got F-47 stealth fighter that's going to be funded, the MQ-25. It's a kind of a refueling drone. Our F-15 EX Eagle fighters. I mean, that's just the beginning of it. Plus, he's going to put in the missile defense of the Golden Dome to the tune of about $25 million. So this bill is chock full of good things for the American people that, as I said, are pro-worker, pro-growth, pro-family, and pro-keeping you safe and secure. So I'm real proud of it. I'm out there talking about it, and folks are excited. So it's good. It's good to be able to get out and be the truth tellers on it.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner is with us this afternoon. Tell me about the trip to Japan. What was that all about? Is that economic focused?
No. Oh. This is all my intelligence work.
Okay.
So remember, the speaker put me on the intelligence committee, a small group. This is year 13 for me. So you have to have a certain level of seniority and have earned your wings, so to speak, in terms of discretion and being able to work on true classified, top secret SCI type operations that are going on in the United States and across the world. So this was a trip that that I made on behalf of the Intel. We conduct oversight, basically, of about 18 different agencies within the federal government, including the CIA, the ones you'd think of, the NSA, the DNI, others. It's a alphabet soup. But really, I was in the region building partnerships with our foreign allies. We just really discussed the growing and persistent threat that's posed by the Chinese Communist Party in the Pacific. So I was working with our interlocutors on military bases, going from island to island, our intelligence agencies, and that of the country of Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, training exercises, how we share certain amounts of intelligence and information building. You know, our intelligence community is absolutely the best and most professional and most capable in the entire world. And we've got to have, though, partners, especially in the Korean Peninsula, which is my area of responsibility on the Intelligence Committee. And it was a whirlwind of a trip, and I'm still a bit jet lagged, but but had to get it done. And it's important work that, again, keeps us all, I hope, safe and secure.
Yeah, the South Korean president at the White House yesterday, actually. Now, at the same time you're doing this, the president is getting together not only with Vladimir Putin, but with the leaders of Western Europe on this Ukraine issue. In fairness, he said, you know, this thing was going to be solved the day after he got into office. He's realizing this is a little trickier. What are your hopes for diplomacy moving forward? Because this Zelensky-Putin meeting is not coming together quite as fast as I think the president would like it to at this point.
Well, and the president's going to lose his patience with Vladimir Putin, and he has before, and he can't be trusted. He's a KGB agent. He's played rope-a-dope with us for decades here, and he's got to stop the killing. We need to have a ceasefire, and we need to be able to sit down and talk about what is a good and viable outcome, both for the Ukraine and for Russia. I am looking towards secondary sanctions. I want anybody, any country that's purchasing oil from Russia and lifting up their economy and allowing them to continue the fight and to slaughter thousands and thousands of Ukrainians day after day, week after week, not to mention their own forces that are being slaughtered also in what is now a 3-year war. Anybody that's providing Russia economic aid through oil money ought to have be sanctioned out the wazoo, and I want it done. So we're looking at some of those options. I think the money will get Putin to the table. We'll see. I know that our European NATO friends have stepped up, not just 2% of their GDP towards defense, but are now at 5%. And they get it, and they know they're going to have to be very much a part of the solution to this war and to keeping the peace in Ukraine. So we'll see where things go, but I know it's a frustration for the president. It's a frustration, I think, for all of us, and it's one that the big obstructionist here is Vladimir Putin.
I'm going to run out of time here, but I got to get your thoughts as someone who represents a specific congressional district in Missouri. Now we're already talking about new redistricting efforts. If the governor moves forward with this, there's pressure from the Trump administration. We've watched what's happening in Texas and in California. I'm a little uneasy with redrawing congressional lines every couple of years, but your thoughts on what might happen here in Missouri?
Well, that's going to be completely up to the state legislature. You know, they draw the lines, the state House and the state Senate. I have been supportive of whatever the governor's efforts are in this regard, and I certainly told him that I will be supportive, and whatever the governor and president want to do moving forward. I just know this. I'm running for re-election, and I'm going to win the second congressional district, whatever it looks like. And we'll just leave it to that. He'll have to call a special session.
Yeah.
And I know this, it was tough the last go around, the state House, the state Senate. Missouri was the last state in the entire country to actually get a map out. So, you know, I hope they can do it. I hope they can do it in time. I'm sure there'll be lawsuits in many of these states that are redistricting. But you know what? I'm kind of tired of states like Illinois and New York and, frankly, California, even though Newsom's looking at another map, that have been stealing seats from the Republican Party
for a long time. I mean, that's kind of the problem I have. Look, it gives me pause on the doing it every couple of years, but you look at Illinois in particular, all you got to do, and how about the irony of the people from Texas seeking sanctuary in Illinois, one of the most gerrymandered states in the entire country. Ann Wagner, great to have you back, and I know you head back to D.C. with far less crime, I'm guessing, here in a couple of weeks. Thanks for hopping on here. That's got to be exciting, right?
But I am thrilled.
We'll talk soon when you get back to D.C. Thank you, Ann.
All right.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
I don't think I mentioned this yesterday. We were supposed to have a guest on that we scheduled from last week, and he got cold feet, but for a good reason. And let me, as I segue into my next guest here, talking about some DEI stuff at the University of Kentucky, there was a professor, I'm going to try to keep his name out of it, and the school, a local professor, who says that, Mark, I'm a liberal, but I listen to you to hear both sides of the issue. Here's a case involving me and DEI gone wild. And he was teaching at a school here in St. Louis for 22 years. And then in the fall of 23, was doing attendance and calling out names in an attempt to learn which student was which. Well, he called one African-American student the wrong name by mistake instead of his real name, and the kid storms out of the room because he thought that that was racist. And then he mentioned that there were extra credit lectures available in the evenings. Since he worked evenings, he said that the professor did this deliberately to single him out because he knew he couldn't make it. And then when he was having some issues attending field trips the night of the class, he thought that all this stuff was based on racism. So this guy, and I'm going to tell the story just in real short form here because I have a guest, but I'm hoping to learn more information. I'm supposed to hook up with this professor, talk to him on the phone. He got worried about his own job currently, but he was called into a meeting where he was called subconsciously biased,
Okay. Whatever
the hell that is. But let's talk here this afternoon with Timothy Minella, who's with the Goldwater Institute. He's a senior fellow. You know, this DEI stuff keeps happening, even though there have been a lot of victories. But Timothy, you guys are involved in a case at the University of Kentucky, aren't you? Good afternoon. Thanks for coming on here with me this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Mark. Great to be here. And yes, we are. And let me just say that the story you just told about the local professor is, I believe, all too common across our country. And that's what we're trying to address with our work in advocating for strong and reasonable prohibitions on DEI across all 50 states. And in Kentucky, what we've seen is, I think this is just a great example of how even the simplest things that we ask universities to do when we talk about DEI, even the simplest things that should be in their wheelhouse. In the case of University of Kentucky, the Kentucky DEI law that was passed earlier this year makes a very simple, has a very simple requirement for the universities, and that is that they must adopt a statement committing to intellectual diversity, to protecting intellectual diversity, and also protecting people from discrimination based on their political or social ideology or viewpoint. And this should be a no-brainer, right? That we don't want discrimination based on someone's political or social ideas. We want, in fact, a diversity of ideas in our universities. But even this was too much for the University of Kentucky. They still have not complied by passing this, just a statement affirming these important values. And so the Goldwater Institute, where I work, has sent a message to the Attorney General of Kentucky asking him to step in here and compel the University of Kentucky to comply with this very simple requirement. But it just goes to show that even the things that should be natural, should be natural for institutions dedicated to opening people's minds and educating people, are not being complied with. It is resistance across the board, unfortunately.
You know, in this professor's case, like you said, it is very common. I've read several pieces. Unfortunately, a lot of times when people write about this in an op-ed, there have been some pieces posted at Real Clear Investigations. Most of the time, they're professors that have kind of moved on, and now they feel comfortable telling these stories. And that's why this guy that I heard from is a little concerned, understandably so. You know, it's justified that he's worried about losing or being affected in his current role. But some of the details are always very similar, where there's, and it doesn't take much, apparently, in a class for a minority student to complain and get triggered and then take that to the university. And the university never really tries to protect their professors in these situations. They just ramp up the DEI stuff and try to push people out. And then you get to a situation where, you know, and this is where it concerns me most, in health and sciences in particular, where you're not getting the best qualified people in those fields. You're getting the most qualified, perhaps, of the right color. And I don't know how that helps anyone. But again, we've had some successes in the last, I would say, 4 years in particular on scaling back DEI. We know the president's position on DEI. But here again, you have a situation down where you are in Kentucky where these universities are still fighting it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what is particularly important here is that no one should be discriminated based on their race. And furthermore, universities should not be creating programming or distributing benefits based on race or sex. And the DEI prohibitions that the Goldwater Institute is advocating for across the country, that is what they do. It's a very, very common sense approach that should have been happening in our institutions this whole time. But unfortunately, we have to step in and compel them to follow the law and really follow the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of guaranteeing equal protection under the law. And I think that's what we're seeing across the country. But it shows that it's not just enough to pass these laws. We have to enforce them. And Goldwater is here to advocate for that as well, that whatever the enforcement mechanism is in your state, we want to ensure that that is happening. And we need to keep our eyes open to what's happening, not just during a signing ceremony, but in the implementation of these laws right. thereafter.
Because you know this probably better than most. These universities, even if they may claim that they're doing something and that the lawyers are advising them in some way, they're going to do an end run. And we already have evidence of end runs where they're still doing the DEI. They're just couching it in different language.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is so important to point out, is that the DEI prohibitions that are being passed, it doesn't matter what you call it. The language is very specific about what is prohibited, and that's discrimination based on race. That's programming that's developed in reference to race or sex. It's very clear about what is prohibited. And what we've seen, for example, in Iowa, is we've seen employees at universities on hidden cameras say, well, we're still doing what we always did with DEI. We're just calling it something like community engagement.
Yes.
That is not going to fly. We've seen in Kentucky, for instance, the College Fix recently reported that a Morehead State University professor, that's one of the constituent universities there in Kentucky, had said in a open meeting of the university that her colleagues need to be wily and resist anticipatory obedience to these recent laws that are being passed. And so in many cases, they're not even being subtle about it. They're saying we're going to resist at every turn, and that's what we can't allow to happen.
Yep, it's the resistance. They're fully on display. And Timothy, I'm glad that the Goldwater Institute is on top of this. Timothy Minella joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
After the break, I have a great story, a real-life example of some of this that's happened at Duke University. I mention every once in a while these op-eds get posted. There was a guy at Duke that wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. Very enlightening. There was a guy by the name of Dr. Kendall Conger who wrote about this very issue of DEI and his experience at Duke just a couple of weeks ago. And he started off by saying, I was heartened to see that my former employer, Duke University Health System, quietly reversed its commitment to woke racism this year. I had joined the internal resistance to diversity, equity, and inclusion crusade. I was fired because of it. Here's my story. And he does note at the beginning here that without public notice, the 38,000 employee organization scrubbed its website of the commitment to DEI that it had trumpeted in 2021 when it proclaimed racism was a public health crisis and equity was its cure. We covered some of this nonsense when it happened. Well, so now they've pulled back on all that, and the 2025 edition is a statement of values, and it says Duke stands against racism, bias, and hate. That was what the old one said. Now it says leading with heart rooted in humanity. So they've, in theory, stepped away. But his story is really interesting. This guy says he worked at Duke for 10 years without incident before, and again, I've had so many people come on here and tell this very same story. This professor locally was going to tell a story that's very like this, and I think he will still share it with me. He just doesn't want to risk coming on the air and losing, you know, his job. So he was an emergency room physician, which now he's involved in a lawsuit. But he says, I don't want this episode to get memory-holed by organizational leaders who would rather we forget the moral panic that gripped them and the price many of us paid for their destructive and divisive efforts. As the country pulls back from the pernicious ideology of DEI, there are countless other people like myself who suffered the repercussions for refusing to buckle to the madness. Again, the same thing happened with the local guy that I'm talking about. So he has to get this out there because they always do. Everyone I know is opposed to racism, bias, and hate, but Duke distorted those words to indict white doctors and nurses for complicity in the poor health outcomes of black patients. Now, his resistance goes back to 2018. When Duke's chief diversity officer, these are, talk about grifters in society. I'd like to know, there's a little chart that I'd like to see. The salaries and the positions of all these DEI folks at universities across the country, around about 21, 22, and what they might be right now, and to see how many are left. So he says that in, you know, the 6 years leading to this particular talk on implicit bias at a doctor's meeting, he says that he had been secluded from the world, working weekends in the ER while spending the week homeschooling his children. And He even admits that he was blithely unaware that academia had shifted from a love of Western civilization, a mandatory course when I was in college, to a disdain. The diversity officer told us that society can be broken up into two groups, and we know those groups very well right now. The oppressor, those with power, white people, and the oppressed. And this doctor said, who thinks like this? Now, again, he kind of admitted he was just doing his job, right? He's working in the ER. He's homeschooling his kids. Then he admits that he coincidentally, I don't know how you do this coincidentally, but he read the Communist Manifesto and, you know, realized how similar Duke's diversity offer sounded to, you know, Karl Marx. So after the riots in 2020, after George Floyd, you had Duke and many universities across the country tightening the DEI, you know, I can't say noose, that'd be, you know, that'd be racist in and of itself, but they were tightening the embracing of DEI, right? Ooh, man, that was close, right, Sue? I'd be careful about that.
Yikes.
So they prepare this anti-racist pledge to the community because they have to virtue signal. And it says, we commit to the elimination of racial inequities. We recognize our own implicit biases and actively seek, listen, and respond to feedback from others as part of our personal growth and development. When confronted with racism, we always take action to speak out against it. We are guided by science and know that excellent research in healthcare cannot happen without equity. So apparently, Duke, before they released this, they asked people if there's any questions about, you know, the content here. And this doctor says, well, I guess I didn't realize I was going to get in trouble. I was naive to the danger. He questioned the pledge. And when he questioned the pledge, he was told by what he refers to as the ill-informed chief medical officer that equity did not mean equal outcomes for groups, as I had feared, but rather equal distribution of resources and equal access to treatments. However, he says, my reading on DEI told me this was a dodge, because it was a dodge, that its advocates believed if racial groups were given equal resources and access, then outcomes for groups necessarily would follow. And the proof for equitably distributed resources could only be equal group outcomes. So, and I've pointed this out. I remember playing some audio from a couple of years ago from a graduating medical school class at the University of Minnesota. And they all kind of, you know, took these pledges and they had to do it publicly. So this professor pushes back and, you know, says, wait a second. And this was, who was it? I think it was Ketanji Brown Jackson or somebody else at the Supreme Court, even during a case a couple years ago, made this reference that, you know, healthcare is racist. And if you look at the numbers from Black African-Americans and others, that the African-American numbers were worse because of the evil white doctors. It was ridiculous. And this guy at Duke said, you know, what is the driver of the health disparities among African-Americans? Is it really racism? Because where's the data that supports that? So this professor and doctor asked that question. He approaches the CMO, and that person likewise does not have the data, nor did he offer to look into it. So this professor's like, well, I was beginning to understand that this ideology as tyrannical, and it was held in place by a fiat, automatic red flag to its dubious legitimacy, which is true. So, you know, this person, I guess I like this guy because he's a rabble rouser and he goes down, you know, each step. And, you know, he says that there was tension that was growing. A nurse saw him reviewing. There were 8 studies that were at work, and he was asked what he was working on. That segued into a discussion about implicit bias. They disagreed. He thought it was the end of the matter. And then he learns, and this is where there's similarity to the St. Louis case, that the person that he was discussing this with reported him to the ER supervisor. So then a few days later, because HR gets involved, his presence is requested in the office along with someone from HR. And he says he wasn't asked what had happened or for his side of the story. He was told, and again, I'm telling you, when you hear this story from this local prof, once I kind of, you know, get a little bit more information, he was told that the nurse felt his speech was unsafe. So instead of receiving instruction on the science of implicit bias, he received a hard lesson on how this dogma would be wielded in the workplace. And basically, he got driven out of Duke. This story goes on and on. It was on Real Clear Investigations. And again, it is not the only story like this. This is repeated time and time and time again, probably right here in St. Louis. When I have more information from that professor who emailed me, believe me, I'm going to share it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.